Happy Sabbath, church family. How is everybody today? Do I have your permission to share a little bit of the Word of God today? Okay, it would have been a little awkward if you guys would have said no, but I was willing to take that chance. Happy Sabbath. I'm so happy to be able to be here and speak with each and every one of you. Today is not much of a sermon. It's more of kind of a workshop for our church. That's how I want to kind of imagine it. So I've been in my life, in my work career, in many different managerial positions. I've run companies, been director of operations or operations manager, and had hundreds of employees work for me before. And it's always been a blessing to work with so many people. It's a curse as well, and it takes a lot out of you. When I started in management, I had a full head of hair. Now, I don't. Along the years, I've come across times where we didn't have buy-in with employees, or we didn't have buy-in with a company. And one thing that I noticed is when people don't have a clear understanding of what their job is, when people don't have a clear vision on where we should be going as a group, not much gets done. Everybody kind of focuses in on themselves individually, their little silos. And in 2014, right before the World Cup, which Germany won, which was good for me being German, but it was really good. We worked with a lot of Hispanic workers at the time, and the World Cup was something that was just, everybody was really looking forward to it. So we kind of came up with a plan in our leadership team as we said, okay, we want to do something a little different. We want to make kind of a new motto for us going forward, for not only us as a leadership team, but then the employees as well. And I didn't really like the motto or the vision we came up with, but I was there to support it 100%. And so we implemented a new vision, a kind of a motto and something to go after. And basically the gist of it was this. It was, every day I play like a champion. And we made a lot of steps to make that possible every day. So we wanted each one of our employees and all of our leadership team to, everything that we were doing, we wanted to think about, would a champion do that, right? A champion is somebody that ends up winning something, winning the whole thing. And what do? They take a lot of different steps than the teams that maybe didn't win or the people who didn't win do. So we started to implement this, and then it really took off. I got the idea. I said, okay, let's, for the supervisors and the people who go above and beyond and that are really buying into this program, we made shirts, and it said, I'm a champion. And they were bright yellow shirts. So instead of wearing their uniform that day, they got to wear the champion shirt, and we did a lot of other things. And the good thing was we had a lot of buy-in, and we really made a lot of teams. And it worked for about 2 years. And then after 2 years, we needed to come up and revamp and do something else. But for those 2 years, we had a lot of really good buy-in because everybody knew what was expected of them. Everybody wanted to work like a champion and do what a champion would do. We had a lot of other things. And we had a lot of success with that. You can see on the screen here that we have, as a church at Sac Central, have a vision statement. And then we also have a mission statement as well. So this just came into effect. It's a little bit revised with what we did before. But before we get into the vision statement, the mission statement, and what God is calling this church to do, I'd like to have just a quick moment of prayer. You can bow your heads and follow along with me here. Lord, we need you now. We need you in our lives individually. We need you at Sac Central. Lord, please help this vision and mission statement bring us together to guide us and to help us do that what we should be doing here, which is reaching each and every person that is around us and around the globe. Anybody that we can possibly reach, we want to be able to, Lord. So, Lord, we ask for a blessing on this message today and a blessing upon our church moving forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so now that it is on the screen, I would like all of us to read it together. So this is our vision statement on what we should be all about here at Sac Central. So let's all read it. We'll do 1, 2, 3. To be a Christ-centered, Spirit-filled church, growing as disciples, grounded in the three angels' messages, and prepared to stand for Christ as we share the everlasting gospel. So who here is in agreement with that vision statement? Amen, right? This is what we should be all about here at Sac Central. Going forward, everything we do, we want to make sure that it is falling in line with this vision statement. We want to start off by being Christ-centered. This is what we need to be about. He needs to be the most important thing. Everything is Christ-centered. Spirit-filled. This is critical for our church, that we are Spirit-filled in everything we do, in every person that we reach, in every arrangement we have. Whether we're here on the church campus or we're out, we are Spirit-filled in what we do. And we are active in growing disciples. Not active in just studying the Word of God and keeping it for ourselves. We are actively helping along our young, our youth, our kids, our new members, our old members. We are always looking forward to be making new disciples and growing as disciples. Not just taking all that information in for ourselves. And then we want to be grounded in the three angels' message and God's Word. Right, we need to be really grounded. And why we're grounded in the three angels' message, we'll get into that a little bit more when we get into the mission statement. But we want to be grounded in his word. We need to, as well as it says here, we need to stand for Christ at all costs. Right now, it's pretty easy to stand for Christ for most of us and in most situations, but it's not always going to be. So we need to make sure that is a focus of Sac Central as we move forward, right? That we are going to stand for Christ at all times. Whatever comes down the pipeline with the government, whatever new disease comes around, whatever happens, we need to make sure that we are standing up for Christ and for our church at all times. And then we also need to be sharing the everlasting gospel, not only to our local community, but to the world. So is everybody wanting to get behind this? Amen. All right. So, and this is one important thing that we need to do. When I was trying to think of a message and praying for the Holy Spirit for a message to bring to everybody, I was really struggling with it. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will give me a message 3 weeks ahead of time. And I was really struggling even this week to come up with something because I was planning on God leading this, and he did. And then all of a sudden I got in my mind, wait, hold on, we just voted in the July church business meeting that we have a new vision and mission statement. And if our members don't know what it is, they can't get behind it. So it would be beautiful for our whole church to get behind this. So by the end of this divine service, I want everybody to have a very clear and concise understanding of what our vision statement is and what our mission statement is. And I think you'll be able to understand this after once we get into the mission statement. I want everybody to understand this, and God wants us all to understand this so we can be all on the same page. So this is our vision statement. Are we there 100% today? Maybe. I think there's a lot of improvement that we can have individually and as a church, right, to be able to adopt this vision statement here. So can I have the media turn it to the next slide? Next slide real quick. And here is where I want to spend the majority of the focus today on our mission statement. The vision statement, obviously, it gives us our vision, it gives us our goal. And the mission statement is, how do we get there? How do we get to be able to be successful in that vision statement? So we have this, we have the acronym REACH. which I really like. It's REACH. So R stands for Reveal the Three Angels' Message. E stands for Equip Disciples in Truth. A stands for Act in a Christ-like Character. C stands for Connect through Health, Media, and Evangelism. And H stands for Help the World Know Jesus. So we're going to be going over each and every one of these points, and I want to give you an understanding of what that means. What that means to me, and hopefully it will convey over to you. We all know this one famous verse that we have, and it gets used a lot in Proverbs 29:19. It says, where there is no vision, people perish, right? So we don't want any of us to perish here. We want to continue to go ahead with a clear, concise vision statement, and then with the mission statement with how do we get there. And what it says on the screen is, we exist to reach, right? So if we're looking at a vision and mission statement, God was pretty big on vision and mission statements as well. When he created mankind, he came up with his own vision and mission statement. And if you'd like to follow along, we can go to the scriptures to see what that means. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 31, it says this. So starting with Genesis 1, verse 26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created a male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on earth. Verse 29, and God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be food. Also to every beast on earth, to every bird on the air, and everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given green herb for food, and it was so. Then God saw everything he made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So right there, I'd like to reword that. So right there, the vision statement for God was basically saying that he wanted to create a thriving community that reflects his image and brings goodness, beauty, and love to the world. That's what God's original vision was in bringing man and creating this world. And then he also made different steps in the vision, in the mission statement on how they were going to get there. And it says on how they were going to get there, basically you could say to know God, cultivate his gifts, be stewards in his creation, multiply his kingdom by serving others with purpose and compassion. And there's kind of four basic things kind of in the mission statement that we can look at. He basically talks about the identity. He wanted to make man and create man in his image. He wanted to have stewardship and have dominion and people to do what they were called to do. He wanted man to also be fruitful and multiply, reproduce. And he also gave a blessing, and man was blessed in doing so. So God, when he was doing all of these things, he created in the beginning a vision and mission statement through the creation. Now, after man sinned, that vision and mission statement had to be tweaked a little bit, because now he basically had to lay in a promise of redemption. Right? So over time, God has kind of had to tweak his vision statement, his mission statement, because of what we've done here. So if we want to get into what reach is when we first went over this and brought this to the board, and we had some special committees on what our vision statement, our mission statement should be. We landed on reach, that we exist to reach. And this is kind of how I thought about it. I like to use my imagination to kind of think things through, visualize things as they go on. So I thought about it like this. Sac Central as a church is here to reach and reach out in every direction. So when I thought about reach and this as our mission statement, I thought about us as Sac Central here reaching up, reaching upward with our hands to try and grasp the hand of God, right? To be in connection with God constantly and all the time, just be in contact. So I imagined us reaching up to God. And then I imagined us reaching right out to our right to be able to grasp the hand of our neighbor, to invite him into church, to share God with him. I wanted to imagine us reaching out to the left and grabbing one of our church members and helping them and pulling them along. I also thought about, you know, visually, I was like, okay, what we want to do is we want to reach as a church and reach in both directions, right? We want to be able to pull one of our family members that is having a difficult time. We want to grab them by the hand. We want to grab our Lord and Savior by the hand and pull them both together and get them to then hold hands, right? Reach out in every direction. To reach out and pick up those family members, the people who we meet, whoever we come in contact with, reach down and be able to pull them up from being beaten down by the world. I thought about reaching back and helping to, like a baton, reaching out and trying to help continue the race and help somebody. To reach forward and try and continue to grasp onto the people that were forward and in front of us in our lives. So that's how I kind of imagined us as a church, that we were reaching in every direction, making sure that nobody was left behind. Our church family, our families, our friends, our coworkers, and our relationship with God, we were reaching everywhere. That's what I pictured it. That's how I imagined us as a church. So if we get into what the acronym is here, REACH. The first one we fall in line with and we see is reveal the third angel's message. Not just the third angel, all three. Right? So you may ask, what is there to reveal? Well, there's a lot to reveal. Did anybody know about the third angel's message, the three angels' message before you got here to this church, before you became a Seventh-day Adventist? I know I didn't. I read the verse. It didn't resonate with me, right? I didn't see too many importance. Well, there is a lot to reveal because over time, this message has been hidden. The message of the three angels' message, right? We go back to the book of Daniel and the scrolls were sealed, and now that we have Jesus, we've gone through time. The scrolls are now opened, right? So there's a lot that we need to reveal. So let's quickly just go over what the three angels' message is, because it's very important if you're a guest here or you're kind of new. It's really important that we know what the three angels' message is in order to be able to reveal it. So if you have your Bibles, you can go along and let's follow along to Revelation 14. We'll be reading verses 6 through 12. Revelation 14, verses 6 through 12. It says this. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made the heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." Another angel following said, "Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." Verse 9, then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark on his forehead or his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends for ever and ever, and they shall not rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image and receives the mark of his name. And then verse 12 says, there is the patience of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. Most of us are very familiar with these. And what we need to reveal to the world and to each person that we come in contact with is, to me, the most important point is, hey, the hour of judgment is upon us. The hour of judgment is here. We don't have time to wait. As Christians, we don't have time to wait. We all have those things that are in our lives that we're kind of waiting to address. Those little sins, those little things that keep us from God, we're kind of waiting to address them. But the hour is here. The hour is now. We need to get out of Babylon, and we need to get right with God, right? We need to share this message because the world doesn't know about the judgment. A lot of people don't know about the judgment and what the judgment is truly about. They don't know who the beast is. They don't know that they've been drinking the lies of the enemy. They don't understand what the mark of the beast is. They don't truly know how to keep the commandments of God, and they sure don't know what the faith of Jesus is. All of these things we need to be revealing over and over to ourselves and to those who are around us. This is our job, is to continue to reveal this special message that we have as Seventh-day Adventists. So our job is to reveal this. And if we accomplish this job, then in verse 12, it says that there are the patience of the saints. There we're going to be, right? There we're going to be in heaven if we finally get to be able to reveal this. We need to be, like I said, I like to use my imagination. We want to be revealing the curtain, opening up the curtain and having everybody else see what is truly going on in the world. So that is what R means, to reveal the three angels' messages. E stands for equip disciples in truth. We need to prepare the followers of Jesus, which are our truth, with knowledge, character, and practical skills so that we can faithfully live out and share the truth. Right? And we see that in a couple of verses. So I'll go to a couple of areas of our Bible where we can kind of see this put into play. And one of the areas that I thought was really important to share is Mark chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. So Mark chapter 3, verse 13 says this, "And he went up on the mountain and called to him those who he himself wanted. And they came to him, and he appointed 12, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and have the power to heal sickness and cast out demons." So this part is pretty simple, right? Simple but effective. Jesus called people to him. He called them. He lived with them. He taught them, and he sent them. It's very simple. None of this has to be very hard. It's pretty simple. So I think we're pretty good at the calling people, and I think we can fall short when it comes to really living with these people, teaching them, and sending them. So as a part of what E is in our mission statement, is we need to equip disciples in truth. So we're not here just to preach. We're here to teach, and we are also here to teach people how to teach and how to share the gospel message. That's what we should be all about. We should be equipping our church all the time in what we should do. Another passage I wanted to touch on real quick was in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 15. So in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says this, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints of the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of the deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. So, right, we see here that we want to be a church that is equipping the saints, right? Teaching them how to work in the ministry. And I just want to have a special invitation here. There's a program, there's been somebody who's been here for quite a couple of months now. His name's Dwayne Lemon. Some of you might be in his Bible studies, but he is here, and for the next 3 months, he is also going to be here to help us with this exact part of what we're talking about with our mission statement here. It is to equip the saints. So he's teaching how to give Bible studies, how to do evangelism, how to do all of these things. If you truly want to be a part of this church and you want to be a part of sharing the gospel and becoming a disciple, I'd invite you to come to these meetings that we have in Sabbath afternoons. He's going to be participating with us and helping him, helping us here a little bit more. So being a church, we want to be a church that is ongoingly, we are always teaching others to be able to share the word of God. That doesn't necessarily mean that every single person has to give Bible studies. For some people, that might be something that's really awkward. Not everybody is going to want to stand up and preach. Not everybody is going to want to go out and work and knock door to door. But all of us should at least be doing something. Right? And these classes that Dwayne Lemon's doing, that hopefully the elders can do, the pastors can do, that all of us can start doing as a church all the time, is equipping people to be able to share the message. All right, it's okay. Not everybody has to be involved with giving Bible studies. It would be great if we all could, but at bare minimum, each and every one of us needs to be ready to at least share how we became a Christian, how Christ works in our life, to be at least be able to share that and something. We all have to do that. No matter where we go, we're all going to have to do that. So you don't have to give a good Bible study, but we at least always have to have that as a bare minimum. And we can do other classes, cooking, right? We're getting into more things here, but we always want to be focused on equipping the disciples, equipping our church to be able to go out there and do this. So, we really need to engage in this because there is a battle out there. We're in a war, whether we like it or not. We are. And sometimes we just don't see it. But there is this war going out, so we need to equip ourselves all the time. At all times. Every time we step outside of this church, every time we step out of our house, even when we're in our house, we're in that war, but more so when we're out in the public. So we need to be constantly equipping ourselves. R, reveal the three angels' message. E, equip disciples. That's what we want to all be about. A, we're getting into A now. Act in a Christ-like character. It's not easy to do all the time. I just want to say that speaking from experience. I can only speak about myself. I could speak about some of you, but that wouldn't be right, right? I can speak about myself. We need to always be acting in a Christ-like character, and especially as a church, right? This is something we all need to do, every single one of us. Now, we're not just relying on pastors and elders to be Christ-like. Everybody, we all need to be Christ-like, right? So that kind of brings me back to thinking about the vision and mission statement that God had in the beginning, right? In Genesis 1:26, he talked about, right, being created in his image. At all times, we need to reflect that we are created in his image with that Christ-like character. And when we act in this Christ-like character, it really helps to reach people. There is a passage in Mark 9:25-29 that I wanted to touch on that I thought was useful for us. And it says here, Jesus saw that people came running together, and he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out of him and enter him no more." And the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead. So that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. I love this, that we see that there's something going on. There's this man, this boy that is being tormented, and it looks like he fell to the ground. It looks like he's dead. And Christ doesn't see that he's dead. Christ sees still life in him. And he reaches down his hand, he grabs the boy and lifts him up. Christ-like character. Very few people today want to waste their energy in lifting up others, in bending down, reaching, and helping. I'm not sure if any of you have had the experience of helping out somebody and then they become eternally attached to you. They call you for everything. They text you all the time. They want money. They want help. They want services. They want everything. It happens, but we still need to do it. Act in that Christ-like character with one another. Act in that Christ-like character with our families, with all the people that we run into in our lives. Constantly, this church, as our mission statement, want to act in a Christ-like way in everything that we do. Christ also, if we're looking at his character, and especially his work ethics, Jesus, he worked himself to the point of exhaustion, right? How much do we work ourselves? Is it to the point of exhaustion? If we're trying to have a Christ-like character, we're trying to emulate him and be like him, do we reflect the same energy towards what he was doing as what we do today? I can only personally say that I don't. Well, there's sometimes I work myself to exhaustion for him, right? But for the most part, we don't. But we should get that way, right? As a church, we need to act in this Christ-like character and follow his ways. In 1 John 2:6, it says, "He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." One amen. Just one. To walk as he walked. Ephesians 5 verse 1 through 2 says this, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ has loved us and given himself for us as an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma." Very simple. Imitate, love, and give ourselves. If we want to put Christ-like character, what it is to have a Christ-like character, that's what we can put it to right there. Imitate, love, and give ourselves. And then we're doing a pretty good job. I would say that out of all of these steps, out of all of this mission statement, the one that I have had greatest success with in bringing people to God is to be acting in a Christ-like character, acting with a Christ-like character. I'm not saying I'm anything great. I'm just like you guys. But I've tried to all the time try my hardest to act in a Christ-like way. Because when we act in a Christ-like way, people will be attracted to us. People will want to ask us, "What is different about you?" You know, I've been at my job now almost 3 years. And the first thing, after the first week, my boss goes, "There's something about you that it's just, I can't put my finger on it." And then we were in a call and he goes, "Oh, I know what it is." He's like, "You look like you're truly interested in getting to know me and getting to know the team. And another thing, you never swear." And the company headquarters is in Boston. I don't know if you guys have met people from Boston. Even in professional meetings, there's just, it's going off all over the place, right? He goes, you don't swear. No. Well, why? And then we have these little points where we can talk about it, right? And it's interesting that I can be in conversations, and when he's in conversations with other people, uses one tone of language. When he's with me, for the most part, it's pretty calm, right? Just a Christ-like character. Just simple things like that can have a big impact, because then people go, what is different about you? It's like, oh, there's nothing different about me. It's who I'm trying to emulate that makes me different, right? So A for our reach is act in a Christ-like, with a Christ-like character. If we go to C, part of our church, our mission statement, what we want to all be about is to connect through health, media, and evangelism. Excuse me. Matthew 4:23 says this, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and kinds of diseases among the people. And that's what this is right here, right? It's preaching, teaching, healing. And that's what we should all be about. Also, there's a verse that kind of, there's a couple of verses that caught my attention in Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. And this has to do with, the healing part of it. It says in Mark 1, 40, it says, now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, reached out, or stretched out his hand and touched him and said, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he had been cleansed. The health message, right? We can help heal people with very simple instructions. I don't think any of us here are going to be like Jesus where we're going to touch a leper and it's going to go away. But you know what? There are a health message. And the most important thing that I saw in this verse about the healing was the part where it says, if you are willing. Are we willing to first change our own health and then help others change their health? I have seen miracles in this church with people that have changed their health regimen and have saved their lives. I knew a lady when I was first helping out as an elder over in the Spanish group that was given up for dead by every single specialist and doctor. She finally went to Weimar, and in 10 days, she was walking. All of her ulcers had started to clear off her body, and she is still alive today, 14 years later. When everybody left her for dead, the health message. Are we willing as a church and individually in participating in the health message? Also, there was media back in the days of Jesus. There was media, and the media back then was called word of mouth, right? Because you saw Jesus preached, Jesus teached, and then he would go to far off cities. They're like, yeah, we know who you are. We heard your messages. Ancient media worked back in the day. Well, we have media here at Sac Central, and we need to utilize it on being able to share the message with so many other people. If you talk to Sharita, she can tell you where our live stream go. I've gotten emails from Brandy because I've had the honor of being able to participate in CSH and sharing the word of God, of people from different countries and people from different areas thanking us for the message. Our media here at Sac Central truly reaches different regions of the world, not only here locally, but away as well. So, but you know what? Word of mouth is also a really good form of media that I'd like this church to participate in as well. When we can go out there and reach our different community members and they can talk about us for us, it's powerful, right? It says in Mark 1:28, it says, "And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region and around Galilee." Word of mouth. We've got these cameras. We've got the whole system. We can televise it. We can send it out. It's wonderful. It's great. Word of mouth also works. By any means necessary, we should share the gospel message to the world. Here locally, in local evangelism, with our media, and in everything. So that's basically what it is for the Connect Through Health Media in Evangelism. Now we'll get into our last part of what it is for the reach, and that is help the world know Jesus. One of the verses that when I was reading this week that really caught my attention was in Matthew 14, the part where it talks about Peter and Jesus walking on water. So Matthew 14, I'll read verses 28 through 33. Starting with verse 28, it says this, "And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And Peter had come down out of the boat and walked on water to go to Jesus. But then he saw that the wind was boisterous, and he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.'" It says, "Immediately Jesus reached out or stretched out his hand and caught him and said, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when he got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" And in that verse, I love this because Peter and others truly knew that Jesus was the Son of God when Jesus reached out and then pulled him up. When they had that encounter together, right? And I see that when people have this encounter with Jesus and he gets to the point where he gets to touch them and pull them out of where they are, that's when they really know who Jesus is. People see Jesus in the distance, like Peter did, right, in the boat. They see him at a distance and far away, and they finally get this energy and this excitement in them, and they want to be a part of what's going on with Jesus as well, and they finally get up the courage to go over and try and walk towards Jesus. But as we all know, when somebody who is a part of this world gets up and makes the decision to start walking towards Jesus, they stumble, they fall. The enemy tries to bat them down at any chance they get. So with this example that Peter is going out and the people that we have contact with when we're sharing Jesus, they go to that part. When they look to Jesus, they start walking to Jesus and they stumble, but then Jesus reaches out his hand and helps them get through their issues, get through their situations, and connect with them. That's when people really know Jesus. And our job is to be able to get the two together. To be able to be matchmakers, right? To be able to bring people up so they can get to know him, to bring them close enough so that they can be reached. In John 20, verse 27, it says, this is talking about Thomas. "Then he said to Thomas," Jesus spoke to Thomas, and he said, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it on into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe." As a church, we want to get people to know who Jesus is. They can't do that at a distance. We need to be able to have the connection with people, to bring people close enough so that they can see the scars in his hands. They can see that Jesus truly died for them and is their Savior. They can't do that from far away. We need to be the church that is constantly helping and gathering people and reaching people together to bring them to Christ so that they can see for themselves when he reaches and pulls them out of the sea, and also when they can see Jesus up close and personal. This is what we want to be moving forward as a church, Sac Central, as Seventh-day Adventists. Can we put back on the screen, can we go back to the vision statement real quick? And see if anybody's back there, if we can put it back to the vision statement. I want to say this statement, and I want us to read it all again, what it is to have our new vision statement. So 1, 2, 3. To be a Christ-centered, Spirit-filled church, growing as disciples, grounded in the three angels' messages, and prepare to stand for Christ as we share the everlasting gospel. And can you turn it, please, to the next slide for our mission statement again? I know it was on the screen the whole time. Hopefully it really soaked in. Our mission statement is we exist to reach, to reveal the three angels' messages, to equip disciples in truth, to act with Christ-like character, to connect through health, media, and evangelism, and help the world know Jesus. I know a lot of the times when we leave here, our lives are distracted, and then on Sunday, if somebody asked you, what was the sermon about? You go, I hope this one stays with you guys, not because it's from me, but because this is what we want to be about as a church. The vision statement is going to be a little bit hard to memorize, but you know what? If you have your bulletin, it is in your bulletin underneath the welcome. There's our vision statement. And if you want to be about how we're going to get there, if you want to know how we are going to get to that vision statement, all you need to remember is reach. We want to be as Sac Central, as our church. We want to be reaching all over the place. I love the song that Diane sung earlier, Each One, Reach One. We want to be reaching everybody we can. And you know what? If you want to be a part of that, if you want to be a part of reaching, please become a part of Sac Central. We have many ministries that could use your help. Whatever talent you have, whatever you can give to the church, please give to the church. You can become an elder, a deacon, a deaconess. You can help with our family life ministry, with small groups. You can help out in the kitchen. You can help out with cleaning. You can help out with the kids or teaching stories or singing songs. We have so many ministries here at Sac Central, and you know what? We have an issue. We have a hard time finding enough people to fill up all of our ministries so that they can be successful. So if you want to be more, a larger part of the kingdom of God, please reach out to us, an elder, a deacon, whoever's here, different ministry leaders, different activities you see going on. Ask to be a part of that. My prayer is that God touches your heart and has you become active in our church, because there's nothing greater than being active for him. If you're going through a hard time, stop focusing on yourself, start focusing on him, start helping out, and I guarantee God will help you. And you're going to feel better. Even if nothing happens and nothing happens in your life, you will feel better once you are starting to help out. We have a lot of different ministries. We have a lot of areas, and we would love to have you be more a part of our church and to fill this church and to be able to reach out and do what our vision statement is. So if you remember one thing after this message, please reach out to whoever you can.